Hello, DC Metro Real Producers. I am here with the wonderful Kara Perlman. Thank you so much for being with us and being on our cover.
Thank you for having me.
I love your story. And if y'all haven't checked it out, make sure you do. It's a wonderful story. And we're going to talk about it right now. So, I mean, you have been, I love to tell people's accolades, especially those that don't like to talk about it themselves, which so 30 under 30, you have been, let's see, Bethesda top five in the Bethesda Magazine top five 2022. Y'all did in 2021, like 90 million. Y'all just had a transaction like $17.3 million, biggest in the MLS in the last couple of years in DC. Yeah, good. And when we started to talk before, you know, this recording, we were talking about like leadership and, you know, positivity, and it's a joy to have you on today and can't wait to share your story. So tell us a little bit, like, you know, why real estate? Tell us how that happened.
I tried not to. My grandmother was a real estate agent. My dad was a real estate agent and then became a developer in the DC area. And I really wanted to forge my own path and was insistent that it wouldn't be real estate. And I took one job out of college and I was really thankful to have gotten that job. This was like 2002. And I went to work every day and I did what I thought I needed to do, but I was within a few months of like kind of learning the craft and getting the office culture. I was suffocating and I wasn't stimulated. And I knew that there was something different for me out there. And I would talk to my father every day and, you know, he'd ask what I'd be doing. And typically it wasn't a whole lot. And I said, maybe I need to go to grad school. But this is not my place. This is not why I went to all this school. And I'm capable of something different. So he had mentioned real estate a number of times, even before I took my first job. And at that point, I think I started putting up objections and just trying to like push him off and delay telling him no. And he's really good at convincing people to do stuff. And I said, well, it's financial. I mean, it's not stable enough. I don't think I can sustain my life. So he said, if you can't make your car payment, I'll help you. And I thought, shoot, I guess I better give this a try. So he introduced me to an agent that he had bought a number of properties from. And I started in an administrative office role. And the rest is kind of history.
So what's been most challenging? I mean, you have grown a team and, you know, done over $450 million in business and a nice portion over the last, you know, few years here. You know, what's been most challenging for you as an agent and like as a leader?
I would say as an agent, it's probably time, like just managing my time and not like working constantly. I think I can find myself not just stuck in busy work, but there's always something that like could be done or needs to be done. And I have like this natural kind of tendency to think like I need to be productive all the time. So squashing that voice and being where my feet are and appreciating the quote unquote flexibility that everyone in the public tells me we have because we're real estate agents, but really truly taking advantage of that. And when I'm in the car with my kids on the way to school and when I pick them up and when I choose to volunteer, like being there and not worrying about work and knowing that it can wait 30, 40 minutes or 60. That would probably be like my number one personal challenge as an agent. And from a team leader standpoint, I think, knowing, being protective of the culture of the group and honoring my teammates. So when we consider bringing someone new on, figuring out the right way to make sure that they're a good fit for the rest of us. And I would say finding comfort in the value that I bring to them. And then in turn, always kind of honing my skill and making sure that I'm doing things that add value to their, you know, experiences as agents and as people. And And yeah, I think that's
I love it. I feel like those are authentic, really great answers. What about rewarding? What's been most rewarding for you?
I would say twofold. As a team leader, I think seeing my teammates thrive, not just survive, and seeing them accomplish things that like none of us really think we can. Our top few sales all are like from successful partnerships of my team agents and myself. And I'm not going to sell myself short and say I had nothing to do with it, but they were either ideas of my teammates or from their sphere. And I just helped kind of bring it full circle. And that feels amazing to be a part of that and to know that like I had some contribution to it and to watch them achieve huge things that some agents don't get to say they ever experience in their career. I think I would say that's probably it.
So how does real estate fit into like your dreams and goals for you?
Oh yeah. And that actually reminds me on the rewarding part. I would say from a personal standpoint, knowing that I'm providing a service and value and creating value and connecting with people has like, when I reflect back on all of my work history, where I've thrived and where I've excelled and enjoyed and like been happy at the end of the day, have all been things related to providing some kind of service. So like my first job was renting umbrellas and beach chairs at the beach. I grew up going to the beach every summer and I was really lucky to be able to do that. But beyond the fact it's a great job, you know, to be able to sit and watch the ocean all day, but like I loved connecting with people that were renting for a week and making sure I set up in their right spot and putting the umbrellas in. I took pride in the way I put the umbrella in, and I have a whole theory on how it should go.
That's great.
And that's like my husband and I still bicker on it. I'm like, no, this is not right. Let the pro do it. But I think that, so when I look at that, I look at waiting tables when I was like 18 to 20 something, I waited tables early into my real estate career. I think being able to put a smile on someone's face, bless you. Being able to put a smile on someone's face and know that I did something that was helpful is pretty awesome. And when I reflect like on current situation, current career path, when I have a client who is sending me a thank you note because we've, you know, sold or they've bought a house, or months later, I'm getting pictures of their bathroom renovation or an invitation to a baby shower. Or I just had someone text me an invitation to their 5-year anniversary. Like those are all the rewarding things. And those are where I feel like I know I had to have done something right to be able to create a relationship where they feel like they want me to be a part of those celebrations. And they, you know, are thanking me for letting me help them.
I love it. So could you kind of tell me a little bit about your philosophy on business and, you know, how, you know, to be just a great human, or how you run your team? Like what are your philosophies?
I would say when you operate from a place of generosity and you look for the greater good, it will fulfill you in all facets of life. And the more that I lean into being authentic to who I am and the more comfortable I am in my own skin, which I think inevitably happens just as you get older, the sweeter life gets. And that like the most important thing is how I feel and how the people around me feel. But in that, like there is more that comes financially and more that comes your direction that helps you thrive.
I love that. And so if you were to define success, like what does success mean to you?
I would say like creating happiness. Like success is going to bed at the end of the day and feeling like I did good. Not great grammar, but
I love it. I feel like, I mean, if we all go to bed feeling like that, I feel like it's a pretty great world.
Yeah. I think if you go to bed like with gratitude and you wake up in the same spot thinking of your like top three, it's really hard to not thrive and not have like a better day than you would have had otherwise.
I love what you just said. It's great. Oh. So tell us about your family.
So I have just celebrated my 14th wedding anniversary on Tuesday.
Congratulations.
And we have my husband, Jeffrey, and I have two children. We have my daughter, Chloe, who is our first. She just recently turned 12. She's going on 17. No, she's an angel, but she, you know, she definitely keeps us on our toes. And we have our son, Charlie, who is 9 and a half. He's brought it to my attention that in a few days he will be celebrating his half birthday and he would like a cake. And
you brought it to your attention. Yep.
Yes. And we live in Rockville, Maryland, otherwise known as North Bethesda, and have two dogs and have lived in the same house for over 10 years, which seems like a lifetime in real estate life. But we just finished a renovation a year or so ago in the middle of COVID, and I think it made me a stronger woman and certainly made a relationship stronger. I think if you can survive a renovation and not kind of secretly have spite against your spouse or your general contractor, it's a sign of success. And we survived both.
That is a sign of success. What are you currently learning?
I just went from a real estate standpoint, I just went to do my second Ninja installation. It's based out of a brokerage in, I think, Boulder, Colorado. I hope I got that right.
I think you did. Ninja Selling, right? Yeah.
Yep. It's the group is the brokerage. And so Larry Kendall has a book out, and I highly suggest, like, I'm not paid, but I highly suggest if you don't have the wherewithal or the bandwidth to do like the 4-day installation, or it's just not local for you, I would really suggest reading the book. I know there's lots of books that people tell you to read as a new agent, but I, I'm reading it again for the second time. I just did my second ninja installation, and I'm trying to slowly implement the tools from it that I think work well and resonate for me, or like, you know, kind of cater to my weaknesses. That's what I'm learning. I spent the 4 days there. I took the time away from my family and from my business, and I'm going to take every ounce of it that I can out of it. So I'm implementing a schedule for myself. I'm always listening to Audible and podcasts, and I have three books on my nightstand. I think it's where you see my ADHD. If I hide it well elsewhere, you see it in my learning.
I literally have like 3 or 4 books on my desk, and like, I'm reading Fred Factor again. Yeah. Yeah. Fred Factor. I really love, just like how to be as a human. What about hobbies and interests outside of the business?
So it, like, this is probably one of my little voices that haunts me about this question in particular. I constantly say, and I just had this conversation with another female real estate agent, but not just because she's a female, it's because she's also a mother. And I was saying, right now, I feel like the two facets of me are my real estate business and career and our team, and then my family and my husband and my children and everything that goes on in our household. And kind of my like selfish or healthy selfish North Star is finding the other elements that make me me, and add to, you know, to kind of the flavor, my flavor. But outside of real estate and my family, I love to cook when my husband lets me in the kitchen. He likes to cook too, so sometimes he strong arms me out of there. And he's been actively learning about wine, and so I've been kind of slowly trailing behind him, and I've enjoyed learning the bits and pieces. I don't have the same level of extent of interest and passion nor bandwidth, but I'm enjoying the bits I'm able to pick up. And then like, just, you know, I think like I touched on earlier, being where my feet are, going on walks, like taking in my surroundings, not having my head down where everyone sees the top of my head. I want to be like up looking around and observing what's going on.
What about, so I love, I mean, you're reading all the times and so on. So educational class, mentor, book that's been the greatest impact. You talked about the ninja class and book. What other books would you recommend?
It's super short, but The Go-Giver is like, that is, if there was a kind of like a manual for how my brain works and what gets me excited, I would say that book puts a smile on my face. And it's so easy to read, which is also really helpful. But like, I'm trying to convince my daughter to pick it up because I just feel like at any different level, you can find something that resonates with you. And if we all operated with like some of the core principle of that, like the world would be not that it's not a wonderful place, but it would be an even better place. So that would be it for reading. That's like the one that I can always remember the title and like, that's my go-to. And then like outside of Ninja that I'm learning and like using to kind of be the best version of me would be within Compass, there's a national group called the 6AMers. And it was started by originally they were both two managers of different regions, one in Colorado and one in Pennsylvania. And it's a morning group and there's calls 2 times a week. And we have 2 times a week, we have interviews with people. It could be another agent. It could be a famous author. We had Larry Kendall, who's the writer of Ninja, on earlier this week, which was so perfectly timely for me since I had just finished the installation. It was pretty awesome. It was like seeing the Beatles. So I really enjoyed that. Came about in the middle of COVID. Sky Michaels, who's one of the managers, was like a month or two into lockdown. And he was like, I'm eating every day. That's all I'm doing. And I'm like, you know, we're having cocktails on Zoom, but like there was nothing healthy about what was going on in the early stages of COVID. And so he was like, I got to get out of bed earlier. I need to like create community. I miss people. And so that's kind of the original foundations of it. And I caught wind of it like a few months after it started. And that's just been part of my morning routine. And I've met agents from all across the country and staff that work with Encompass. And it's just been like, I have 2 groups that I meet with, one on Wednesday morning and one on Friday morning. And it's like, you know, a group of 5 or 6 agents. Sometimes there's only 2 or 3 of us, but it's just like connecting on a different level. And we're not talking about business at 6 in the morning, but it's like we're checking on each other. And so, yeah, that's my other kind of growth and education.
I feel like that's a wonderful thing for other people to do too, and to not feel like you're on an island, because the most successful realtors, like, you're all just going, getting it done. I love that. That's great. I hope a lot of people take that away from this and go do those things.
I think finding your community is key, because it's really easy. I mean, I like where I am now in my career and the environment I'm in and in my office, but I imagine it's like this elsewhere. But finding collaboration, like one of our core principles here is collaboration. And I never like look at another agent in my office and think of them as competition, nor do I even outside of our company. Like, I don't walk around looking that way. There's more houses than we can possibly sell. Like, it's, there's, if you come from a abundance mindset, like it's endless. So if you can find your community, because otherwise this job, even though you're dealing with people, don't mistake that as creating your own community. Like, you need the same people in your community. Like, having a client that you see for 3 months, that's great. That can become your friend, but like, to create a community of people that all kind of have that same goal and leaning on them when you have a lonely moment, because this can definitely be isolating.
Well said. What sets you apart or makes you different?
Not to imply that other people aren't, but I think for me, what I identify as what helps me stand out is like my authenticity. And I wasn't that way years ago. I obviously didn't have the confidence because I didn't have the experience, but I think just in age, you get like a little bit of, you just get more comfortable in your skin, the more life experiences you have. So I would say that, and like my commitment to doing good, to being kind, to when I walk into an appointment, I am equally as likely to tell someone not to make a move if I don't think it's financially what is best for them, or if it doesn't, if what they're saying they want doesn't align with what their needs are. I find a very kind way of bringing it up. I'm by no means going to shove my opinion down their throat, but I think finding a way to listen to the things in between the words and help them make a decision that's truly the best for them, not what ends up resulting in a sale. I feel like once someone gets to know me and has a few minutes with me, I think they are comfortable with that. They know that they're getting honesty, and that I really hope that they know that I'm there with care, and that my advice is the advice I would, you know, hope my accountant would give me, or my, you know, that I would give to my sister. Like I want, it doesn't need to be so casual to be family. So not to imply that, but I want to know, I want the people that I'm working with to know how much I care. And I think that is, I've gotten better at letting that shine. And so I feel like that's maybe my thing.
I think that's a great thing. thoughtful kindness is a beautiful thing. It's one of our core values on my team. What do you feel like has been like the biggest lesson, or maybe from the biggest failure? Like what's a lesson you could share so others could learn from it?
Well, in big picture, I would say find some value from every experience, even if it seems like a bad one. There's probably some gem buried in there. And also in real estate specifically, I like, there's so many things that have happened that have been probably disappointing, but I have such a tendency, I'm very like glasses half full, which is a blessing, but I let go of the actual specific scenarios. So I couldn't tell you some like mortifying stories, but I would say, I think like, that being able to reflect upon it and take some nugget out of it and learn from it, because there's some reason why you experienced that. So like, there's some reason why I didn't get that listing and I thought I would. And when I take the time to reflect upon the steps and kind of look back on the conversations I was having and think about like, did I pause? Did I ask enough questions? Did I listen? Or was I so nervous about getting all my information out and showing my value? Like I, you know, like, did I miss what their pain points were or their pleasure points were? So I think like being able to take something out of even the bad, the not so great things that happen in your life and learn from them, because they're happening for a reason.
You know, I didn't ask this earlier. I loved your quote too. What's your favorite quote, or what quote would you like to share?
So I feel like I'll like mess it up if I don't look at it, but it's a Maya Angelou quote. And I think we all hear it often, like in some way, shape or form. It might not be like accurately what it said, but it, no matter how many other great ones come across my plate, this is like truly one that just, if I was the person to have tattoos, which my husband has plenty, if I was, then this would be one that it would be worthwhile to tattoo. But I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And it's the truth. And so if you get like stuck on, I'm the type of person, I walk away from a conversation, I'm like, oh my God, did I talk too much? Oh my gosh, what did I say? Did I steamroll the conversation? Like I have to squash that voice. And if we walked away with hugs and I left a good impression, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if I said something silly.
So I love this question, and I know you're young, so, you know, don't take this wrong, but how would you like to be remembered? Like, what would you like to be remembered for?
I mean, totally is attached to the quote, but for making people feel good and special and warm. I want people to walk, I'm like getting emotional. I want to leave this world knowing that I created something bigger than me, that I created value and I made people feel special. Like, that's really important to me.
Well, I felt that today, and I really appreciate you being on the cover of DC Metro Real Producers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you all heard it here at DC Metro Real Producers. If you haven't checked out this edition, this was November. Okay, make sure you check out Kara Perlman on our November issue. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.